Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to Tuesday. We often refer to it because we like to eat around here. Taco Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. Play me some of that.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
It's Taco
Tuesday. All right, welcome to Taco Tuesday. It is, all day long. By the way, I did have meatloaf last night on Meatloaf Monday, so I did follow the rules.
I'm jealous. I ran through all the meatloaf I was sent back after I went home last time.
You burned through it,
I
didn't you?
I burned through it in about 4 days.
You got to, because you can't keep it in it forever.
That's all right.
Hey, it's JP on the board. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. I am more than good enough.
More than you deserve?
I'm better than I deserve.
Yeah.
Too blessed to whine. How about that? All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you right now. Coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in. So we'll have Tommy Tuberville at 3 p.m. to talk to us about some of the machinations going on up there in D.C. In the meantime, I got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First one, I'm just calling it good enough for government work. Remember that used to be a thing? How good is it? Well, that's good enough for government work. What did that even mean? Well, it meant that it was probably lackluster or getting by. It was enough. You can get over with it. You know, it was a guaranteed paycheck no matter what. Good enough for government work. Well, guess what? Government work right now is a whole different world. And we're going to tell you about some of the government work that's going on your behalf that's been fun to watch, y'all. And, like, it's a whole new day. Let's put it that way. Good enough for government work. That's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, yeah, you know the deal. Every once in a while when I'm resourcing the show, I realize, okay, we have spent the last ever so long talking about D.C., which has been, by the way, the center of the universe, and I get it. But every once in a while, you got to look at home and see what's happening right here in your own backyard. The Tennessee legislature is in session right now. The Alabama legislature goes into session next week. Things are happening right here in our backyard, and we got to cook up a batch of home fries, talk about what's happening here around the house. And then number three, man, listen, not only is it different in D.C., but they're determined to spend less money. And I got to tell you, I, for one, am glad. But yeah, we're gonna do number three on the triple dipper, and I'm calling it Doge This. And y'all, when you hear some of the things that the Biden administration was about to cut a check for that we suddenly grab hold of and put a stop to, you may want to throw your radio across the room. Just brace yourself. Doge This, that's number three on the triple dipper. All right, well, let me just jump on over here to the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, he is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. I'll tell you more about him here in a few minutes. All right, so there's been a lot of talk, and rightfully so, about the amount of change coming out of D.C. Like I said a moment ago, it's been the center of the universe. It's been remarkable, actually. And there's really no sign of it slowing down anytime soon. But I think, in retrospect, I think it's less about the actual change and more about the leadership involved in making it happen. So yesterday I told you about the situation with the president of Colombia bowing up against the deportation flights of his own illegal alien criminals that we were trying to send back. So Trump was apparently playing golf when he got the word, and he issued a statement that laid down the law. And before he finished nine holes, the entire international incident had largely blown over. In the previous administration, I mean, it would have resulted in hand-wringing and study groups and press releases and State Department communiques and a year of delays while the Biden team fretted about whether they ought to send some apology money to Colombia to help assuage the guilt of being American. Trump? Not so much. He put out a quick statement on his social media while he stood at the tee box on hole three and proceeded to get on with his game. Problem solved. How refreshing is that? It reminded me, though, of somebody who called into the show a few years ago. So I actually went back through the show notes, and sure enough, I found it back in mid-2022. I mean, as usual, the audience was fully engaged that day. The phones kept ringing. One of those calls really stuck with me, though. I'll never forget it. A guy named Justin who said he was 19 years old. He called in and asked me a question. And he asked this. He said, if hard times create strong men, where are the strong men to lead us out of these hard times? Wow, what a question. From a 19-year-old, no less. I believe he was alluding to a quote from a book by author G. Michael Hopf called Those Who Remain. The full quote would be, hard times create strong men create good times and weak men create hard times. The essence of that quote is that we often see a cycle in culture and in history, a circular turn of events in which those hard times, whether they're famine or war or cultural decline or tyranny or some natural disaster, they mount up against the people of a given society, and by necessity, it causes harder, stronger leadership to rise up out of the ashes, if you will. But mankind, being fickle and prone to reinvent the wheel, then allows the good times that come about because of their strong leadership just to make them fat and happy and generally weak. But that weakness, that flaccid and often craven lack of strength that follows the onset of difficulties, and it brings about the next round of hard times. And so the circular motion just kind of starts over. So Justin, who called in a few years ago, I don't know if you're still out there listening, but it was a great question. It stuck with me ever since. And my hope is that what we're seeing right now is the cycle coming back around, that the leadership that just took office is a part of the strong men creating good times cycle. But the conversation, though, spawned by Justin's question, it didn't stop there. My adult son had been listening to the show that day. So my son, he's in the Army, and the fact that he was able to hear the show was also great timing. My son, he called to talk about Justin's question. And now my son is 35 now, right? He was 33 at the time. I'm telling you, Charlene and I have remarked several times that we raised kids that are better than we are. That night was my son's turn to impress me, and he did not fail. He brought up the question from our caller, Justin, and the quote from that book by Hopf. And he said next, you know, what he said next was so good that I asked him if he wouldn't mind just sending me his thoughts in an email so I could mull over it. So my son pointed out that the second half of the 20th century, especially after the fall of the Soviet Union, had seen an unprecedented level of peace and prosperity across the world. And he pointed out he didn't use the word unprecedented lightly. In my son's words, the world has literally never seen so little actual warfare and such a generally high standard of living. He made note that in the latter half of the 20th century and into the first couple of decades of this century, he made note that European history is, you know, so often seen Europeans killing each other every 4 years or a few years, but at the very, until recently, Europe has been largely free of open warfare, for nearly 8 decades. This was before the war kicked off in Ukraine. To be sure, the Middle East and Southwest Asia, they've been an on-again, off-again hodgepodge of hotspots, but Western society? Pretty solid. Generally pretty peaceful. But my son, he's a student of modern warfare and military doctrine, and he knows what he sees. And he said that, largely speaking, much of modern society has never had to face real crisis or real problems. And this makes so many of society's members weak, and those weaklings, in the absence of real problems, must therefore invent their own problems. Things like critical race theory and microaggressions and preferred pronouns and mean tweets, those are the result of people who have grown so comfortable that they have to invent problems in order to have something to solve. All right, so let me just stop summarizing my son's comments, and I'm going to read you a direct quote from the email he sent me when we wrapped up this conversation. I mean, I couldn't have written anything better. He said this. He said, quote, now we face the hard times these weak men have created. Mass inflation, energy crisis, supply chain shortages, potential food shortages, the highest chance of World War III since the Cuban Missile Crisis, they're all happening, while the left screams that men can have periods too. So back to Jason's question, my son said, where are the strong men? He said, I look around and see not too many options. Now at the time, 2 years ago, he said, DeSantis readily comes to mind. The list after him is desperately short. The good news is that the 1970s were a hard decade for the USA, but it only took one Reagan to turn the 1980s into arguably the best decade in our country's history. And my son said, DeSantis may or may not be the next Reagan, and it turns out he's not. We're hoping it's Trump. But rest assured, my son said, that hard times do indeed create strong men. And then he went on to say this, and this is the latter part of his email, and this is my son saying this. He said, until our strong leaders emerge, everyone can be a strong man or woman in their own sphere of influence. No matter how large or how small that may be, it makes a difference, he said. Working hard, treating others like you want to be treated, standing up for what's right in the face of overwhelming pressure, being a source of positivity and hope, refusing to crumble if someone calls you the wrong pronoun, teaching younger generations how to also do those things makes all the difference, he said. And then he ended with this. He said, so go be a local strongman and hold out hope until the national level strongman arrives on the scene. Y'all, he nailed it. Nailed it. First of all, on a personal note, yes, I'm a proud dad. Always have been, but it never hurts to have one more reason, right? Secondly, I hope that y'all are taking note that the basis for this whole discussion, though, and much of its content, comes from a call from a 19-year-old and an email from a 33-year-old. There is truly hope, in my opinion, for our future. But next, and to the point, we've been through some weird, difficult, and often distressing times in the last few years. And yet, we as a nation do have it good. I was asked to speak to a high school program not long ago, and I pointed out to them that they are among the first few years of citizens who were old enough to join the U.S. military that were not even alive when 9/11 occurred. Our nation, our culture, has grown soft, and as a result, it's been inventing its own problems. Just, you know, out of thin air. Only to find out that while they stay distracted and chase unicorns and absurdities, that real issues are actually mounting up around them. My son is right. And Justin's question was well-timed. We need the strong people to get on their feet, raise their voices, and say, follow me. And when I look back at President Biden over the last few years, I don't envision he ever had a callus on his hands in his whole life. When I see Governor Ivey right now at the helm of our state, right next door to Governor DeSantis, the phrase that comes to my mind is, she's just going along to get along right now. I can count on one hand the number of local and state leaders who inspire me and give me confidence, but I know that they are out there, and we need them. We need people at the local and state level to rise up and join the fight that we're seeing coming out of D.C. right now. We need people who can say it like it says in Isaiah 50, verse 7, that, quote, therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. So, yeah, we're setting an example right now from the White House. We're getting it. We're getting it every day. An example of what it means to be decisive and to face challenges head on. And hopefully, from the national side of things, that leadership in D.C. will take our broader nation to a period of good times in the cycle of society. But it can't just be up there. It has to be here at home. It has to be at the local and state level. It has to be in business. It has to be in church. It has to be in relationships. All right, so who's in? Who's up for it? To answer Justin's question from 2 years ago, where are the strong men? Well, they're all around us. They just need to know that they're needed. And to recall a quote again from my own son, go be a local strongman and hold out hope until the national level strongman arrives on the scene. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, that's some profound stuff right there from a 19-year-old and a 33-year-old. And here I am staring at 60, and I'm thinking, dang, man, the next generation may actually have it going on. And I'm proud to be watching it happen. But it all comes from strong men and women being willing to stand up and say, follow me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we'll have our senior senator from Alabama calling in, Senator Tommy Tuberville. So that'd be 3 o'clock Central Time. And by the way, I have to say Central Time once in a while now because we have an audience that is on Eastern Time as we branched into Tennessee, and we are now airing on WGOW out of Chattanooga. So, yeah, we're proud to be on 1150 a.m. out of Chattanooga, and glad that the east side of Tennessee is part of the right side of the world. How about that?
It's a good problem to have.
I just coined that. Did you hear that? That rolled off. East side of Tennessee is part of the right side of the world. I don't know. Sometimes the things just roll off my tongue. I don't know how that happens.
May have to pick some East Tennessee specific t-shirts or something.
We may have to. Hey, listen, before I go any further, I told you guys, attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald. He's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. Listen, if you're looking for an attorney in North Alabama, I'm telling you, I know Stan McDonald personally. I think the world of him. And not only is he somebody who would advocate for you legally, but Stan McDonald is one of these guys who's been an absolute warrior in the area of conservative politics and of things that we care about culturally for decades. I know it for a fact. Listen, Stan McDonald, he has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years. He can represent you in, you know, local, state, federal courts. When Stan McDonald's on your side, I like to say you will have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversaries will have no greater foe. So, yes, I'm going to tell you how to get hold of him. I'm going to give you his number here. You ready? Attorney Stan McDonald. He's an America First family man with the law firm of Wilmer and Lee out of Huntsville. Here's his phone number. Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. That's 256-479-3020. And tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And now for that ridiculous thing I got to do. No representation made of the quality legal service before it's great quality legal service before the other lawyers. Bum, bum, bum. Just every time, man. I'm going to be doing that a year from now and go, yeah. Every time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. In fact, I can tell that I've got some new text in, but I don't know what is going on with our texter. It shows me things differently now. Why does it do that?
I've chatted with somebody on there, and it was no help either. So,
well, be John Brown. All right.
Get to the bottom of it.
Lewis from Trinity says, I taught my son how to paint. He used to use the term, that's not half bad. And I would always get on to him. We do not use the word or term half bad. He said, it's either bad or it's good. So therefore, we strive to do good work, not half bad work. I like that, Lewis. I think that's worthy of a bumper sticker, to be honest with you. Brian from Huntsville says, now my texter won't even. What is with the texting machine?
Do you want me to read it out to you real quick?
Brian from Huntsville, yeah.
Brian from Huntsville. Well, mine did the
Harry
same.
Harry Turtledove?
Yes.
What do you say?
Mine did the same. It's loading.
What
now.
Is happening?
I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of this.
I will apologize right now for technology, even though I have no idea what technology is trying to do. But we have had a jackleg time with our texter. All right, y'all keep texting. We'll be reading them. It'll refresh in a minute. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Taking a break. Coming right back. We're going to jump on in. Good enough for government work? I'll tell you all about it. Y'all stand by. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're going to kick off the first dipper, and I will tell you right now, keep texting, keep calling. The phone number still works, 833-687-4448, and we are working to reboot our texting system, which is just maddening. It's very cool, by the way, when it's working, which it has been for the last several years. It actually, we have all your texts are coming up on a computer screen printout, and it's actually very cool and easy to work with. Until it decides not to be. You still working on that right now? Still buffering over there? What the heck? Okay, anyway, enough of that. I got to tell you, so the first dipper here is called Good Enough for Government Work. Good enough for government work. Well, how'd you do down there? Well, you know, good enough for government work. I mean, what does that even mean? What it typically is designed to mean is ain't too much going on. You know, we got by. We did enough for government work. The standards were kind of sort of met. No need to excel because we're not in the private sector. That's the way it feels sometimes. Now, I know it's not always true. Granted, there's a lot of folks on a government dime that are doing amazing work, research, you know, putting men on the moon. The whole thing was all government work. I get that. But there are things happening right now, though, that I would just say government work just took on a whole different shine, if you know what I mean. Like a lot. Like, wow. And here's one that I didn't even have in my resources. My friend Amy from Rainbow City, she texted me. She sits on the state library board, which has been, you know, the center of gravity for controversy in the state now for about over a year, where we're finding all these public libraries using taxpayer dollars to put books in the kids section that teach them how to, you know, be gender fluid and, you know, and how to tuck themselves and use the right pronouns and whatever else. It's ridiculous. Well, she just sent me a text with a copy of a letter that was received by the state library board. And oh, by the way, all of them received it around the nation. It is from Matthew Vaith, acting director of the Office of Management and Budget for the Office of the President. Subject, temporary pause of agency grants, loans, and other financial assistance programs sent out to all the library boards around the nation, letting them know that as of immediately, like we're not even waiting to hold a big committee meeting first, as of immediately, the Alabama Public Library System State Library Board got the letter, and it says there's a pause on federal funding to make sure programs are in compliance with the executive orders from the president. No DEI or renamed programs, no books encouraging multiple gender identities, no preferred pronouns, no transgender ideologies in children's books or universities as stated in the executive orders. Y'all, can I have some applause on that one? I think that's like worthy of some applause. It's filtering down now. It's filtering down to the state level. It's not just the Department of Defense is saying stop DEI. What we're seeing right now is if you want to continue federal funding, which you'd be amazed how dependent state entities are on federal funding. If you want to continue to receive grants from the federal government, you're going to stop being the big woke library. You're going to stop trying to teach kids things that parents are shocked to find out is actually in the children's section of the library. Stop being the center of controversy and go back to being the place where it's safe for kids to go and they're not being sexualized, you know, below the age of majority. That's cool. Amy, thank you for that. I hope you're listening right now. Amy, thank you for the work that you do on the State Library Board. I know you take heat for it on a regular basis from the libs who try to call you out, but you know what? You have stayed in the fight, and you are indeed a right side ruffian. But what else is happening? What else is happening in government work? Well, lots. Not the least of which, and I've got a whole section later in the show I'm calling Doge This, where we're going to talk about Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, and what's happening. Where are they saving money? But Doge, I had to put this one in the front because it specifically goes to this dipper about government work. Because government workers are being called back to work. Now they'll say, well, we've been working from home all this time. Why? Why? Well, it's very productive to get things done at the house. No, actually, you and I both know it's not. Are there occasions? Sure. I work late at night. I work early in the morning. I do things on the weekend. Absolutely. There is a level of professionalism that comes with getting up in the morning, making your bed, putting on real man clothes, and leaving the house on time to get to the office. It's called professionalism. It's called an expectancy. It's called get your job done. It's called show up and do the work. Well, I've been doing the work. I Zoom and I use Teams meetings and I submit my papers. Do you sit around in your flannel pants with your bedhead, sipping your 15th cup of coffee out of your favorite sippy cup? No, that stuff is over. Well, right now, President Trump issued an order. And I got this from the Populous Times Dateline yesterday. It said that 94%, this shocks me, 94% of federal employees have not been regularly showing up to work Monday through Friday. 94%, JP. JP, you show up for work every day.
I do, yeah.
You show up for your radio show on Saturdays.
Yeah, I do.
And you do it like getting up out of bed, putting clothes on, and coming to work.
Sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
JP usually wears pants when we're on the radio. But 94% of federal employees reportedly were not showing up to work 5 days a week. Top offenders were the Department of Energy, the Agency for Global Media, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with appalling attendance rates of, God, Department of Energy had a 0% attendance rate, 2% for global media and 6% from the Department of Ag. 6%. That basically, Department of Energy had 0% of their employees showing up 5 days a week. 0%, brother.
That's, yeah.
So it also points out that the Biden administration reached a last-minute deal with the Federation of Government Employees. Remember this right before the election? Hey, what do y'all need? We really need your vote. Can we give you something? How about this? We'll extend work from home till the year 2029. Why? 5 more years. Why? Why would that be needed? It is not. All right, Trump put it into it. So at the advice of the Department of Government Efficiency, the Trump administration is determined to end this lax work-from-home program. Issue went out. Here it is. Quote, heads of all departments and agencies in the executive branch of government shall, as soon as practicable, take all necessary steps to terminate remote work arrangements and require employees to return to work in person at their respective duty stations on a full-time basis, provided the department and agency head shall make exemptions as they deem necessary, like someone's sick, someone's traveling, someone has a family matter they have to take care of. I get it. Those are the one-offs. They're case-by-case basis. We don't have this blanket, we're just going to sit at home and put on a wrinkled shirt and try and do a Teams meeting on time. So good enough for government work? Well, guess what? Government's getting back to work. And I, for one, am glad. It's maddening. The private sector is out there doing everything it can. And I do know that people remote work. I get it. I know people whose jobs are designed for work from home. And I get it. But not all of federal. And by the way, federal government leases a ton of its buildings. And they sit empty. And we pay the rent anyway. They sit empty with utilities on, the heat running, things sitting there, computer workstations, and then when people work from home, they often want to be provided a laptop so they can have access to their systems. And then what do you do when they have a security clearance? How are they handling security clearance work from home station? Because that's not a SCIF. That's not a secure environment. They can't have CIPRnet, the secure internet, in their home. That's done. Mile. Afuerte!
Afuerte!
We got to get a recording of that.
Yeah. That needs to be a sound bite, a sound button here.
Hit me some afuerte. Afuerte! All right. How about this one? Good enough for government work. The Department of Education hasn't quite gotten the memo, but they're working on it. Daily Signal has a story that came out yesterday. The executive order went out that there are only two sexes. Why did that have to be an executive order in the first place? You ever thought about that? The very idea.
Yeah, that's...
We had to have the president tell us there's only two sexes.
That's the left going too far right there.
Daily Signal. But the Department of Education is aware and is still trying to make the changes that the online applications for the federal student aid program still ask whether you consider yourself to be non-binary. I get it. Trump's only been in office for a week. But I will say this. The Department of Education did not play around. They said they've already taken steps to ensure that the forthcoming application process reflects the biological reality. There are only two sexes, male and female. So, yeah. Joe Biden jacks so much stuff up. I can't even picture in my head. 10 years ago, someone saying, I identify as non-binary. I picture it even less having an official form from the U.S. government asking if you feel like you're non-binary.
Yeah. And it's, like you said, he's only been in office for like a week, and people are going out and be like, oh, the egg prices haven't gone down yet. It's like, well, he's already, he's kind of busy unmessing up all the other stuff y'all did.
Unmessing up.
So, give us a little bit of time. It's going to take a little longer than a week.
Yeah. How about this one? Good enough for government work. Whatever happened to that abortion rights website? Did you know the U.S. government had an abortion rights website?
No, but because, it doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. ReproductiveRights.gov. Not no mo. It's gone. ReproductiveRights.gov, the website created by the Biden administration to push their pro-abortion agenda, has been shut down. So President Joe Biden's Department of Health and Human Services brought forward the website in 2022. As a response to the overturning of Roe v. Wade, townhall.com, Dateline 2 days ago, says that, yep, they wasted no time. Their website was taken down. It was helping underage girls obtain abortions unbeknownst to their parents. It was helping girls find funding for abortion. It was doing things that, first of all, federal dollars are not to be used to promote abortion or to conduct abortions. And yet, the White House had a pro-abortion, here's how you get it done, here's how you can get the money for it website. Not no mo. Things are different right now. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you what just happened with the Taliban. Well, yeah. Interesting. Did we just put a bounty on some heads? Apparently so. More of that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, text lines seem to be back up. I'll get a few of those here momentarily. 833-687-4448. I'm doing this section called Good Enough for Government Work, and coming up here in a few minutes, we'll have U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville joining us to talk about the same. But it's interesting, as I'm watching what's happening, the level of government work that we're seeing right now is of a different pace, of a different style, of a different flavor, of a different tone, all of it. Well, how about this one? This is fun. What did Joe Biden do with the Taliban? Well, he sent them billions of dollars in aid after he gave them, like, what, $70 billion worth of military hardware. I mean, just unreal. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, though, on Saturday, according to Newsmax, just threatened putting bounties on the heads of Afghanistan's Taliban leaders. Yeah. Why? Because we find they are detaining Americans. Did you know that? I did not know we had any Americans being detained by the Taliban right now. I was not aware of this.
No.
All right. So Rubio wrote on his social media on X, he says, just hearing the Taliban is holding more American hostages than has been reported. I didn't know any had been reported. He said, this is true. We have to immediately place a very big bounty on their top leaders, maybe even bigger than the one we had on bin Laden. Rubio didn't describe who the other Americans were, but there may have been some accounts of missing Americans whose cases had not been taken up under the Biden administration. I mean, gosh. So the Taliban did free one guy named Ryan Corbett, who had been living with his family in the country, but he was seized by the Taliban in August of 22. Also free was a guy named William McKinty. There's another guy named Khan Mohammed, who's a U.S. a citizen. But right now we're hearing there may be more. And so what does Rubio do? Takes a page right out of the Trump playbook. He goes, okay, we're putting a bounty on your head then unless you start releasing our people. I got so much here in my stack that I don't know that I can even get to all of it before we run out of time. I mean, I'm looking at things like banning of transgenderism in the military, right? That's huge. Or how about this order? The reinstatement of troops who were discharged over the COVID vaccine. Yeah, with full rank and back pay and benefits. That's huge. But I think one that sort of tugs at the heartstrings that I want to bring up real quick, because it's a different tone altogether. It's a different level of government work that we're seeing. Was Trump himself going to North Carolina last week? Trump went to the devastated regions of North Carolina and lingered with the people, and he let them come to the microphone and just say everything they wanted to say. And some cried, and some, you know, vented, and some just pleaded for someone to take note of their plight. And the fact is, we have people right now who are saying it did more for their morale than anything that has happened since the entire thing went down with the Hurricane Helene. I mean, I got a lady here saying, I'm optimistic that President Trump is focusing his energies here. I don't think the people could have handled much more. And listen, what we're looking at is a government that wants to do things for people at the grassroots level, that wants to show up and say, I'm here, what can I do? And not just tell you, well, that's a bureaucracy thing, and we're going to make a soundbite and give you a $700 check, and it's all going to be great. If you'll stand in line over there for 4 days, we'll find you some stuff. No, we got a different level of government work going on right now, and it couldn't have come at a better time. All right, coming up in a few minutes, I'll be talking to Senator Tuberville, and I got to tell you, he just got a plum assignment. So Senator Tuberville has been on the Senate Armed Services Committee now for, you know, I think most of his tenure. He was just named as the chairman of the subcommittee for Armed Forces Personnel and Readiness, I believe. And that's a big deal. So I'm looking forward to getting his perspective on how things are going in D.C., what about his new position, and where are we headed with the U.S. military, all here in a few minutes. Let me get a few text messages before I do that. Brian from Huntsville said earlier, Harry Turtledove, a book called How Few Remain. It's fiction, but it points out the strong men in our past. That's a good one. I'll check that out. I've never read Turtledove stuff, but I've heard it's great. J.T. Lacey Springs said, as to the monologue, now my texture is not refreshing. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm about to reach into that screen. Okay. I got it back. What do you got?
I was going to say, at least you have access somewhat.
JT Lacey Spring says, good monologue as usual. Just want to comment on yesterday's in regards to how fast Colombia's president responded to Trump's tariff threat. Between holes 3 and 8, Trump was playing golf, but it was putt-putt. Okay. Trump was playing golf, but it was putt-putt. Yeah, my texts are updating as I'm watching. This is great. I mean, they're just popping in. Casey, Junebug from Hartsell, says, excellent monologue as usual. What an amazing son you and Charlene have raised. Thank you, and I agree. Thank you so much. So I think it's important for men to understand how much positive influence they can have over young people in our country. As a mom, I've worked hard to raise strong Christian children, but words from their father's mouth just have more influence. It's frustrating at times, but I believe that's the way it should be. I hope men will realize this truth and step up to the challenge. There's no replacement for strong men standing for truth and what is right. Junebug, thank you. And thanks for being the mom that you are. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, y'all stand by. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two here on Taco Tuesday. We got a listening audience that's like just going gangbusters right now, covering all of North Alabama and all the way into East Tennessee and Northwest Georgia and parts of Mississippi. Listen, we're going to go right now to the phones. Alabama's senior U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is going to be on the line with us here momentarily. And you may want to know that in the new era that we're in, that U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville was also just recently announced as the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel, which means he has direct impact over things that deal with manpower and readiness. He has been a stalwart when it comes to issues for our veterans. And in this whole discussion I'm doing about, you know, government work, and I think it's a different era we're in, like I said, Tuberville's in the thick of it. So let's go ahead and get him on the phone. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us, and congratulations on the new chairmanship.
Well, thank you. We're going to be focusing, Phil, on recruiting. How about that?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a novel thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mess right now. We're way behind in recruiting. Actually, the last month and a half since President Trump has been elected, our recruiting has skyrocketed. And you think there's any correlation there? About whether these young people, men and women, you know, have any confidence in President Trump as Biden's administration. It's amazing how things have changed here, Phil, in just a short period of time.
It really is. And you know, I'm a third-generation Army officer myself. My son's on active duty now. I can just tell you it's refreshing to know that there's an entirely different style of leadership that puts the troops first. I mean, I look at that in Hegseth's nomination. I look at that in your appointment to readiness and personnel. Let me ask you about that, too, Senator, if you don't mind. I know that one of the things that President Trump signed was an executive order saying that he's going to restore anyone who wants to come back in who was dismissed because of the vaccine mandates to their full rank and benefits. What are you hearing about that?
Well, 100%. And, of course, he ran on that, and President Trump is staying with all of his campaign ideas that he ran on. And people were expecting it, but it's only the right thing to do. And what they did to our military during COVID is an embarrassment to, you know, all the veterans, all the people that have been in the military before, you know, COVID. And you know, my dad was career military, and they pretty much have tried to destroy it from within. You know, transgenders in the military. President Trump signed an executive order saying enough and that enough's enough. You know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for a transgender person to stay in the military for healthcare reasons. And plus, they can't deploy. You know, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't give you the right to just do anything in terms of the federal government, especially being the military. But there's all kinds of things that President Trump's going to touch base with. But again, it all goes back to one thing. We've got to get this woke DEI nonsense out of the military. It's not an affirmative action situation, and you know, some of the hearings I'm gonna have on the personnel committee is like bringing up our supervisors from our academies, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force,
yeah.
Because it has really gotten deep into those, Phil, and we're not gonna have it. We have got to clean house.
We do. I actually sit as a member of the board of advisors for a national organization called STARS that that deals with. It's a bunch of retired, you know, generals and admirals who are sick of seeing wokeness in the military they love. Many of whom are academy graduates, and they want it out of there. But listen, I mean, I think there's going to be a weeding out that has to take place, obviously. But I'm stoked about where it's headed. Can I ask you though, in terms of recruiting? I know we're looking better right now, but are we going to wind up seeing, do you think, a complete uptick and put us back to full strength?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. But first of all, you know, you can recruit all you want, but if you don't train them and actually war fighting, instead of do all these classes and DEI and social justice and woke, that's a problem in what we're hearing in our military as we speak, that when they go into whatever branch of the military, they spend a tremendous amount of time in the classroom being detoxed and brainwashed in all these crazy ideas instead of going out shooting guns, jumping out of planes, learning how to drive a tank, shooting off, you know, a missile, in something that characterizes what we do as a fighting force, not this agenda that the Democrats want to push on our young people of brainwashing them into something that they don't believe in.
Yeah, listen, Senator, I got to tell you, and I don't mean to get on my soapbox. I asked for you to call in, but I got to tell you, as a battalion commander, one of my last officer evaluations I had to write for a young captain was to evaluate his service as a combat leader, and I was required to delete some of the entries that I had put on about what a great combat leader he was to make sure I included mandatory phrases about him adhering to the equal opportunity plans and sexual harassment programs of the command. And it just galled me that I had to delete what he was good at to say what they wanted to hear. I just hope more of that's gone soon.
Well, new sheriff's in town. Yeah. That's going to change.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, one of the big things that I like about Pete Hegseth is he's closer to the age of the warfighter. And he's not one of these woke DEI generals that have their feet propped up over in the Pentagon that are over there collecting a paycheck, drive around. Everybody opens the door for them. They never touch a doorknob. They have a $250 million budget, each one of them, with 2,000 bureaucrats hanging around or civilians that are snapping at their every need. It's time that we get back to spending that money on these young people that want to fight and protect us in this country, because that's where it should go. I mean, we're top heavy right now. So we're meeting every day, Phil, here in my office with, you know, the deputy SecDef, people that are going to be in charge of the Pentagon. And it is really, really refreshing to actually hear people talk about making this country better, making our military better, and protecting the United States of America, our borders, and our allies. It's totally refreshing.
Well, glad you're in the chairmanship that you're in, Senator. And let me switch gears with a little bit of time we have left. Confirmations are still ongoing. We've gotten, of course, Hegseth. We've gotten Kristi Noem. We've gotten the DNI, John Ratcliffe in. Several of them are in now, but there's some big ones coming up this week. What are you expecting with some of the more contentious stuff, like with Tulsi Gabbard and with RFK and even Kash Patel?
Yeah, well, the three big ones are Kash Patel, new FBI director, Tulsi Gabbard, intelligence, and, of course, RFK. And as I've told my fellow Republicans in luncheons and stuff when we have, listen, RFK helped get senators and the president of the United States elected because millions of millennials looked at what he talked about, what he thought about, making our food better, making our health better, and that's what they care about. And if we don't confirm him, we're going to lose those millions of millennials going back to where they were on the Democratic side. So I hope we understand that. You know, he's out of the box, which I'm fine with, but he's going to have good people around him, the CDC director, the NIH director. Dr. Oz is going to be here working with him. He's got a great team, but for some reason up here, even Republicans, you know, they feel the power of, hey, you know, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to vote on who I want to. Well, this is about America. This is not about your ego. But Tulsi Gabbard is going to be huge. Now, she's got some people that are concerned about her going to Syria or whatever. Like I've told them, listen, I'd go to Moscow right now and meet with Putin if they'd let me. because we got to get that war over with. And that's one of the reasons she went to Syria back during when we were having problems with Assad. But, you know, again, these people know better than everybody else. And we just got to get through these next few weeks, get them all confirmed. And Kash Patel has to get the FBI back, you know, on America's side instead of on the deep state side. And that's going to be a big one also. I've got RFK in a hearing on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to seeing that. I'll be watching the televised version. But do you anticipate any of these having to go to recess appointments? Is Trump going to be able to get them all confirmed through the full Senate process?
Well, problem with the recess appointments, and, you know, it's good to talk about, but you got to be in recess for 10 days.
Right.
There's no way that we can take 10 days off up here, get one person a push across the finish line. We have got a lot of work to do in the next 24 hours, much less, you know, the 10 days. So we got a lot of work to do. I just hope my fellow Republicans, because we can do it without Democrats. Just say, hey, bite the bullet. Let's get this done. You know, put your concerns behind you. Trust President Trump. Trust the 77 million people that voted for him. And let's make this country great again.
Outstanding. Well, listen, I got to ask you, though, I was up there for the inaugural events. And just the tone in D.C. feels different. And from an outsider looking in, but I talk about it every day, but from an outsider looking in, it feels like there's an entirely different feel to D.C. And I'm wondering, what's it like from the inside? Is it feel different to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it different? I mean, it's night and day. Of course, you know, we have the majority now in all phases. And you've got a leader. We know what our leader stands for, whether he's right or wrong. He's going to tell you what he thinks and what he believes and what he's going to do. And he's made more decisions himself than Joe Biden made in the whole 4 years he is here. You never knew from one day to the next what was going to happen here in Congress because Joe Biden was out to lunch. I mean, he wasn't making the decision. Somebody else was. So that's the reason you have to have a head coach or a president that you know is going to make a decision. Now, again, it might not be right. But he's going to stand beside it, and he's going to make sure that the decision he makes is going to be for the best of everybody. So, again, it's hard for these egos up here to look at that and say, you know, I've got to fall in line. But I tell you, right now, our country's still in trouble. We've got a lot of things to do to get us out of trouble. We're so far in debt we can't see straight. And if we don't get cut our budgets and get the debt down and grow this country, get our GDP up around 3.5-4%, it's going to be hard to make it. And again, President Trump's doing everything he can do in those two areas to make sure the taxpayers in this country understand what we're doing to make it better.
Well, and I agree. And listen, I know that you know what I'm saying when I say this because of your own personal background. But you can come in with a game plan, but sometimes you got to change the plan to adapt to the game. And I've noticed that President Trump has been willing to pivot. He's been willing to make snap decisions, and they all seem to abide by the same principles that he came in with. And I just want to encourage you and thank you for what you're doing because I feel like there's an opportunity here that may not come along in another generation.
Yeah, and the good thing about President Trump is, I go back to the leadership part, he's not afraid to make a decision because he knows he's got people around him, and if he has to adjust, he got to adjust. But we can't hem-haw around, Phil, in the next few months and get this country back. We don't have enough time to do that. We got to do it. We got to do it now, and then we got to have a lot of people behind all these decisions to make it work.
All right. Well, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, I want to stay in touch, and I appreciate you making time for us today. And we'll wait and watch, and then we'll see what happens next.
Grab a hold and hold on, Phil. Don't be bumpy.
All right, Coach. We'll see you.
Thank you.
That's U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. And I do think he's right. Grab a hold because it's going to get bumpy. But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. If things ain't bumpy, ain't nobody leading. You know what I'm saying? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. So it's a whole new day, man. I'm just telling you. I'll go ahead and wrap this segment. I ran a little bit long with the senator because I wanted to get as much time with him as I could. So we only got a few more minutes here to the next break. But I'll just tell you, it is an entirely different tone right now. And in fact, you can also see it you can also see it in the White House press room. So the White House press room, here's a brand new thing. Caroline Leavitt, who's the brand new press secretary, man, nowhere to go but up from there. Karine Jean-Pierre, does anyone even know where she is now? Who cares?
I think she's writing out her application for The View.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it would. They got a seat waiting for her.
I could see it. I mean, maybe she could replace Whoopi. That'd be awesome.
Would it be much of an upgrade?
It would not be, anyway. But anyway, so the brand new press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, being gone, Caroline Leavitt is there. She held her first presser this afternoon. We'll have a clip from it here in a little while. But she ran the podium, and she ran it pretty well by all accounts, like knocked it out of the park. The lovely Charlene just texted me a little while ago and said she knocked it out of the park. But they also did something new and different. Within the press pool now, you have people from what is considered to be the non-mainstream media. You've got podcasters, you've got social media influencers, you've got bloggers, you've got people being allowed press passes to be at the White House press pool to ask questions and be a part of the daily pressers. Y'all. And the press has had access to the president and the vice president like nobody's business. I mean, the Biden administration called a lid on the day at like 1, 2, and 3 o'clock on the average. Trump is answering questions at all hours, just saying, what do you got? What do you want? What do you want to know? And just saying it. And I'm telling you, the press may not always like him, but they like his access. I guarantee you they do. It's an entirely new day. I got a couple things here in the stack that I didn't even get to, but one of which that I talked about briefly. Well, I'll say briefly. I talked about it with the senator a moment ago, and this is a big deal, y'all. We had over 8,000 troops that were released from the military, lost their careers, some of whom had, you know, just about got to the point. So there's a thing in the military called sanctuary. If you reach 18 years of active duty time, they cannot just reduction enforce you. They have to keep you to 20 because you have reached sanctuary for your retirement. There are people who were like on the cusp of sanctuary who lost their careers, lost their retirement, had served this country well. 8,000 plus were discharged under Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's edict from the Biden administration that because they didn't want the vaccine because of religious accommodations, they just were out. Well, Trump has issued an order, or preparing to sign an order, I'm sorry. I pulled this one off of Red State. Pulled this off of Red State saying that he's preparing to sign the executive order that he's been talking about. All members of the armed forces who are discharged will be reinstated, and they'll be reinstated with full rank, back pay, and benefits. Now, I don't know how many of the 8,000 will do it. There's probably quite a few that have had a couple of years of growing their hair and feeling better about life. But there's going to be some who are like, friggin' right I am. Sign me up. They got to come in and do a PT test, see how it goes. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're about to put some experience back in the ranks. And I think they're going to come in with a good level of mad, if you know what I'm saying. I say bring it. Put in a bunch of hard stripers who earned the right to have that job, and let's get them back in the ranks. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, y'all. Listen, I got to tell you, just so you know, we got a bunch of y'all watching online right now, and we appreciate it. And make sure y'all know that if you want to follow this show, Right Side Radio is on daily from 2 to 5 p.m. Central Time, 3 to 6 Eastern Time. And we're available, though, all the time. So no matter where you are in the whole wide world, you can go to the World Wide Web. And if you're outside of our radio broadcast range, you can still get us. One of the best is YouTube. You can also get us at our website, rightsidemedia.org. But yeah, and if you do that, listen, we're a growing company. We got a lot of things going on. Click subscribe or like or whatever the case may be on whatever platform you happen to be watching us on, because that also allows us to do more things ourselves. Now, here's the thing. You got to know this. Right Side Radio is just one of our productions, all right? We have 5 separate other podcasts that are going on. This is the live radio show daily. We have a written op-ed that goes out to like 18 different news outlets around the region. And then we have 5 podcasts, the most recent edition of the Controversial Mom podcast with Emily Jones, one of the founders of Moms for Liberty in Alabama. That came out Sunday. My most recent one called The Right Philosophy, the latest edition of that one comes out tomorrow. And then we've got The Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. His will come out Thursday. Am I right? Thursday. And then we got Right Click with Birdman that does tech and gaming stuff on Fridays. All of it's on our website, rightsidemedia.org. Listen, I got a bunch of text messages. I'll get a few of those, and then we're going to jump into the next dipper. I'm going to skip forward and do Doge This. You may want to hear the sound clip from the most recent press conference because it leads in pretty well. So if you don't mind, I'm going to call for sound clip 2 here momentarily, JP. Birch from New Hope says, I'm not a federal employee. This is the text line, by the way, 833-687-4448. Says, I'm not a federal employee, but I've worked from home since 2020. Now I work 2 days a week in the office, and my commute is 45 to 55 minutes one way. I can't tell you how much of a blessing it's been to have more time with the kids and time for the gym. Yes, wonderful for the mental health versus driving on 565 every day. You know, I totally get that. And you're not a federal employee, so your company made a decision. But we also have a House, and Birch, thank you for that. We also have a House Oversight Committee study that came out that showed that the U.S. government was far less productive having a unpredictable attendance at the office. No one knew who was going to be there, when they were going to be there, why they weren't there, would they ever be there? Teams meetings and all that, security clearance issues couldn't be fulfilled. And so when it's on the private sector and they make a decision for the business interests and the shareholders, I get it. But when it's on the taxpayer dime, I think it's time to get back to the office, put on real pants, and go to work. John C. from Madison says, I don't think it's that bad in Huntsville. You got some government positions open here that remote work is not even possible. I agree, and I think you're going to find that there are places where there's actually been government. But when you hear that the stats were saying earlier that the Department of Energy had a 0% of their employees that came into the office every week, like some did, some didn't, some were 2 days, some were 3 days, some were no days. I mean, Department of Energy? That's everything from the Keystone Pipeline to, you know, whether we're going to, you know, be able to be energy independent one day. Roy from Hartsville says, just think, Phil, the janitors and all those empty government buildings didn't even have to empty the waste baskets, but probably still showed up for work. They probably did, brother. They probably did. Shane from Huntsville says, I don't even know what non-binary means. And then he said it 4 times. Shane, if you're not aware, you just texted me 4 times.
I think that's classified as hate speech. We may have to censor Shane for that text. That was a...
Not on this show. All right. Hey, you got that sound clip ready? Caroline Leavitt is the new press secretary for the White House. And she came out and had her first presser today. So my next section is called, my next dipper, triple dipper for the day, is called Doge This. Department of Government Efficiency. Y'all, they're already finding stuff. They're already canceling contracts. There's a big hullabaloo right now in the news that Trump announced today that based upon what he is seeing and hearing, that he is canceling all foreign aid until you had a chance to review where it's going. Why? Because of some of the things you're about to hear in this sound clip and stuff that I've got here in my stack. So how about we doge some of this? Play that sound clip.
Just during this pause, Doge and OMB have actually found that there was $37 million that was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization, which is an organization, as you all know, that President Trump, with the swipe of his pen in that executive order, is no longer wants the United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's...
Stop. So yes, we just withdrew from the World Health Organization. Who are they? Oh, they're the ones who tried to shut down the world over COVID. COVID was bad. It was. I know it. I admit it. I'm not trying to say it wasn't. What I'm saying is you cannot crush people's civil liberties because you've got a government idea. And the World Health Organization was still calling for masks on 2-year-olds well past the time when COVID was already burning itself out. Now, that being said, Trump pulled out, and yet we were still about to send them $30-something million But wait till you hear the next part. Go ahead.
The United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's agenda. Doge and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a...
Stop it! $50 million, JP, for condoms in Gaza. Are they intent upon repopulating the Gaza Strip? Is that what's happening? What is going on there?
I don't even know where to begin. I'm just, you know, baffled.
I just, you look at this and go, first of all, thank you, Trump administration, for stopping the check being written.
Thank you to Doge for finding that.
Thank you for Doge for finding it. And then shame on the people who thought this was a good idea. A pox upon their houses who thought this was a good idea in the first place. The very idea that, I mean, we've got so much money, apparently, flooding out into the world. By the way, did you know that, you probably can figure it, that the United States is still the world's largest supplier of foreign aid dollars, to bar none. 40%, I think it's 42% of all foreign aid in the world comes from the United States. And now we're finding out that part of that is $50 million for condoms to Gaza.
I truthfully, I can't even begin to imagine why. Just why. That's all I have to say. Why.
Why. In fact, I'm going to go one step. Was that the end of that clip? Is there more of that clip?
That was the end of
the
clip.
Yeah. So 50 million. Let me go one step further. You know, okay, I was in Afghanistan. I've got no love for the Taliban whatsoever. I was there at the beginning of the war. I'm looking at this right now. Freebeacon.com, Dateline, yesterday. You ready for this? Brace yourself. The Biden administration quietly awarded $15 million in taxpayer funds to Taliban-controlled Afghanistan for oral contraceptives and condoms.
I don't get it.
What? So, okay. The U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. By the way, USAID is having a complete come apart right now. There are people just today, the Secretary of State, and I'm trying to think who else has oversight over USAID, had to have an acting person. Anyway, they came in and they had to relieve certain people of their positions and put them out on paid leave while they review their because these people were still trying to cut checks when they were told to stop. So Trump has put a freeze on funds like this being sent out. Why would we send $15 million worth of you know what they do when they get those condoms over there? They laugh.
Yep.
They laugh. And then they sit in a box and they rot. And then the Taliban looks at the Americans like we're idiots. And you know what? We were. Not no mo. How about this? 15 million. USAID. What? You know what? Here's the other thing, too. I got to say this. I will guarantee you that ain't nobody in the Taliban governance who said, see if we can apply to the Americans for a grant for condoms. Nobody did.
Mm-mm.
This was something that somebody hatched inside of woke USAID. And they said, here's a great idea. Why don't we send some condoms to the guys who blow things up and abuse women and you know, basically seize control of the country that we fought over for 20 years. That's a great idea.
This was a millennial staffer move.
And then somebody signed off on it.
Yeah.
And then somebody else said, well, we got money. We got to spend it somewhere. What do you want to do? Condoms? Sure. Here's an entire caseload.
Why are we sending money to the Taliban in general, by the way?
It's a great question.
You know,
why are we?
This has been uncovered within the last couple of years, I feel like, or brought to light that I'm just like, I can't even begin to wonder or come up with any reason at all to send money to the Taliban.
In fact, I'm looking at right now, the article for Free Beacon points out the U.S. law forbids taxpayer funds from going to the Taliban, which has been designated as a global terrorist organization. But we're going to send them $15 million worth of condoms. Who dreams this stuff up? Okay, Doge, we're glad you're there. Doge, listen, keep doing what Doge and do, all right? This is huge.
Can you just imagine Elon's face when he heard that? We're doing what? Condoms? To the Taliban?
I want to know what happened. I want to know, did he text Trump?
Yeah.
Did he text him and go, you're not going to believe what I just found. Yeah. Donald, look what I just found. And listen, this is going to be an everyday event.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that Doge is keeping a running list. I went to their website to find a few of the things that I've got. And in fact, let me do this right before the break. Let me pull it up here. I think I've got it in my last part of my stack here. Where is that? Yeah, right here. I pulled this from the Doge website. USAID spends $40 billion of your taxpayer dollars to fund foreign aid for, you ready for this? DEI scholarships in Burma to the tune of $45 million. How about this? ESG, that's environmental, social, and governance investments in Africa for consultants to the tune of $520 million. For the love of God. How about this? $1.2 billion in awards through USAID to quote-unquote undisclosed recipients. I'm not sure how you can have $1.2 billion in undisclosed recipients. Hey, tell my caller that I've got to take a break here momentarily, so if he can hang on to the call, I'll get him right back as soon as we get in, all right? Last couple before I go to the break. Because of Doge, the Government Services Administration terminated three leases of mostly empty office buildings, with tenants then relocating the nearby buildings with savings of $1.6 million immediately. What? Yes. The federal government currently has 7,500 leases across the entire spectrum, and they just found a whole bunch of them that were just empty office space. Why are we keeping them? We don't know. Let's save $1.6 million. Sounds cool. Let's do it. And they just did. How about this? Last one. Another $145 million in federal savings because they canceled 16 DEI contracts. Think of that. 16 DEI contracts. That means there's an average of like $8 million per contract. 16 DEI contracts for the Department of Labor, Transportation, Agriculture, Commerce, Health and Human Services, and the Treasury. They all canceled their DEI contracts and just saved the government $145 million. Y'all, the amount of waste, fraud, and abuse. I'm saying doge this. I'm saying doge it and doge it more. How about that? We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and then I've got more. Yeah, we're going to keep on dojing this. I got a caller on the line. I'll get him as soon as I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Listen, there's a ton of y'all watching us right now through X, and we appreciate it. You can see us at two different places on X. One's my personal account, at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N Phil Williams. And the other is through our Right Side Media account. If you're new to us, we would absolutely appreciate it if you would click follow. Because, listen, we're an up-and-coming media company. We got a lot going on with live radio and multiple podcasts and everything else going on. And we're growing like huge across the Southeast United States. But the only way we can grow more is for y'all to actually click follow or subscribe or whatever the case may be on whichever platform you're watching. So it would mean the world to us if you would do it. Just click follow, and you'll get our stuff on a regular basis. Like well over 1,000 people right now are watching online. It means the world to us. Let me go to the phones real quick. He hung on during the break, and I want to honor that. Matt from Madison. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. I got a little insight, I think, just a quick foundation. Tucker Carlson once said that there's more millionaires in Washington, D.C. than anywhere in the country, and they make nothing. Having said that, these wars and these monies that they send out, I mean, isn't that just a foundation for running money, laundering money, and for these folks to collect money that isn't theirs in the first place, that belongs to us?
Well, you never tell. I mean, you'd love to believe. I mean, first of all, I'll tell you this. I don't default to corruption. I don't default to that as the thing that must be going on, because I've been an elected official, and I know what it feels like to have somebody declare you're corrupt simply because you're elected. But I will say this. You can't look at this and go, that's okay, when you've got $1.2 billion in undisclosed recipients. That's got to get fixed. There's no way in the world the American public can have trust in their government if they can't see where everything is. Transparency will cure a whole lot of ills, right?
Yes, sir. And I didn't mean to infer that everybody was corrupt, but there's a large number that are, and they're the ones who are disgracing the Office of Public Service.
Fair enough.
It's disheartening and it's disgusting. Anyway, thanks for everything you do. I really enjoy listening to you.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you. Stay in the fight, bud.
Sure.
Yeah, listen, I'm a absolute firm believer that that there is stuff going on that needs to come to a grinding halt. I mean, like, not even a little bit, like, grind it to a halt. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Doge. First of all, I will say this. The interesting thing is Elon Musk is a billionaire. He doesn't need somebody paying him money. He doesn't need anybody's backhanded, you know, assistance, if you know what I'm saying. And that's very cool to watch. It's also not a government entity. It's a watchdog agency on the outside that the president has said he wants to hear from. And so that's very cool. And when they start finding stuff like what I just said a minute ago, like $15 million to the Taliban for condoms, like another $50 million for condoms to Gaza, for the love of God, people, how many condoms are there in the world? What condom manufacturer got that contract? You know what I'm saying? Somewhere, somehow, someone has got a buddy that owns a condom company. And Trojans are flying out the door right now to the Middle East. Go figure. I got one quick call that I'll take before I go to the break. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, doing all right. And I want to let you know that I am very grateful for them going through and checking all these empty buildings or offices that you talked about. But remember, we're not just breaking leases, we're breaking leashes.
Ah, I see what you did there. Oh. Always with the good dad jokes with you.
Oh, sorry. Okay, you have a good one.
See you, man. Listen, we're going to wind up taking a break here momentarily. We'll come right back at the top of the hour, coming into round or hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. And I'm still in dipper number two for the day. I'm going to do some more on this Doge this thing. Y'all, this is something else. The very idea that our taxpayer dollars are doing things like they're doing. I'm saying, man, Doge can't do enough work. The Doge staff needs to be working overtime. And we need to start cutting some stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. Tons of y'all watching online. We love that. Thank you so much. And all of our affiliate radio stations, we're proud to be with you. I may have just received one of my favorite text messages. Shane from Huntsville. Did you see that one? You can't see the text.
I can't see the text.
No. We don't know why.
I've been banned from the text line, apparently.
That's it. You've been deplatformed.
That's what it is.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, the bottom line is Shane from Huntsville, talking about government workers, you know, showing up for work. Mm-hmm. He says, I blow things up for a living. The government won't let me do that from home.
That's great.
Oh, God, I love that. Okay, I forgot something a minute ago, and I just told JP when we get back, I said, I thought I was through talking about the condoms. You know, I thought we were done, but I told JP during the break, I realized I'd forgotten part of the story. So, yes, I do have the article right here that talks about from the Free Beacon that the Biden administration had been very quietly attempting to send $15 million for the distribution of contraceptives and condoms to Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. That's very important, especially given this story that I pulled off of local website KLEW-TV, dated February of 2023, that points out that the Taliban have banned condoms. Calling it a Western conspiracy. You got a laugh track over there or something, man. This is just ridiculous. I'm saying. This article written by someone named Jessica Bothlow says the Taliban have banned condoms and other forms of birth control, calling the use of contraceptives, quote, a Western conspiracy to control the Muslim population. The Guardian newspaper first reported the Taliban has been going door to door, threatening midwives, wow, and ordering pharmacies to clear their shelves of all birth control medications and devices. One store owner told the media outlet the Taliban visited his establishment armed with guns and told him not to sell contraceptives. They have condom police in Afghanistan.
So we're sending them $15 million of stuff that they don't even allow.
They not only do they not want it, they don't allow it.
They actively hunt down people who have them.
They actually go and shut people down for having them on their shelves. One midwife says she was threatened, saying the Taliban instructed her not to, quote, promote the Western concept of controlling population. This is unnecessary work. God almighty. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, my experience is the Taliban are Neanderthals. They are some knuckle-dragging Neanderthals.
I feel like most terrorist organizations are.
Yeah, there's that. But the Taliban was this weird Neanderthal. I mean, like, I was there at the beginning of the war, you know that, and there were any number of things we saw that were torn up, and it was not because of war damage. It was because of Taliban literally just tearing stuff up, like schools. Schools were larger buildings, so they made great military barracks. They were no longer schools. Well, when you got 75 guys trying to use the Tashnab, which is the Dari word for latrine, it tears things up in a heartbeat. And then they would like do things like, it was cold at night, and it gets cold at night in northern Afghanistan. It gets cold at night. So rather than, you know, go out and cut firewood or do things normal, they would tear the window frames out and burn the window frames. And we had to repair all this stuff to try and restore some normalcy to the Afghan life. I literally, one of the biggest projects I had, I was in, beside all the combat operations, I helped try to reestablish governance in the northern provinces and to reestablish order. And one of the things we did was we rebuilt a grain silo, massive grain silo, so that farmers had a place to sell their grain. You know, farm to market kind of stuff was a big deal. And so farmers would bring their grain in and sell it, and then it would be sold out of that, you know. But anyway, the grain silo had been torn down. It was a brick silo. It was massive. It was cool. Why was it torn down? Because the Taliban didn't want to take the time to make bricks, so they dismantled the silo that the world needed over there to build things they wanted to build.
It's maddening stuff. And just like Hamas building bases under schools.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, this is, I mean, that's what they do. But yet, we send money to these people. Like
we don't
Taliban.
Send money. We send condoms.
Money and condoms.
Money and condoms. Hey, fellas, got a little something for you. A little money bag and some condoms. This is, God, this
knock
is
yourselves unreal. Out.
Yeah. What else we got here in Doge? Doge has discovered that the federal government, brace yourself for this, pick whatever sound effect you've got for this one. I don't care. This is going to be a good one. The federal government is spending $250,000 taxpayer dollars to do what? To celebrate trans rural Americans. Yeah, okay. Older people who live in rural areas and identify as transgender. Can we get more niche than that? They've identified that somewhere out there, there are older people living in a shack in the hills that identify as transgender, and they need to do something about it. So the National Endowment for the Humanities granted $247,000 for what is known as the Trans Rural Lives Project, a digital storytelling project exploring and celebrating the lives of transgender older adults who live in or have strong ties to rural areas and small towns in the Pacific Northwest. Oh, and now it's only the Pacific Northwest. What's wrong with my old Alabama trans folks living in the hills. I mean,
they're living in a red state.
Oh, they're red state trans older people. See, this is, you know, this is exactly what you, this is called a first world problem, man.
Yep.
The first world invents stuff to have problems. And the third world is not out there trying to say, hey, you got any old gray beards that are trans living up in the hills? Can we give them some money and do a storytelling project? They're not doing that. The first world is where that happens. It's embarrassing. This is the kind of thing the Doge is voted for, $250,000 to investigate and tell the stories of old trans folks living in the hills, countrysides, and farms, and small towns of the Pacific Northwest. Just saying.
I don't know how we will function another day if that gets cut off. Quite honest.
Well, you know, and what's also like right now, breaking news on the screen, one of the big screens here in the right side studio, a federal judge has just paused some of Trump's aid freeze. So the money he's trying to put a freeze on till we can just review it and see what it is. A federal judge has already gotten involved, and I do me a favor, look that story up real quick. CNN probably has a story because they're the one loving this. But Chuck Schumer is out there. The Trump administration's federal aid freeze It's horrible. And I'm looking at this. It strikes a dagger at the heart of the average American family. No, it doesn't. We don't care about spending money on things like trans-rural lives in Pacific Northwest. Do you see?
Where the judge 14 was? Minutes ago from the AP says that a U.S. District Judge Lauren L. Alicon blocked the action Tuesday afternoon minutes before it was set to go into effect.
What circuit is that judge, you know?
Tell
me Ninth Circuit.
It does not say on here. It just says U.S. District Judge. I'll have to scan through the article a little bit more.
Yeah, scan through, see if you can figure out where the judge is from. I'd be shocked to find out they're from the 11th Circuit here in the Southeast, but I would be not a bit surprised to find out they're in the Ninth Circuit out on the left coast. The judges out there, if I walked into one of our local courtrooms and tried to cite the law from California, I'd be laughed out of the room. So, just saying. While you're finding... The DEI purge. The DEI purge has people out on the left. The DEI purge. I know everybody heard the story about the DEI purge and then what we call the malicious compliance. There's a term for you. Malicious compliance. What does that mean? Somebody who's mad and they want to lash out to you in a passive-aggressive way by over-complying with the requirements of whatever's being said. In this case, DEI shuts down. Don't brand it. Just stop doing it. Stop saying that gender and race is everything. Stop discriminating against people or telling people that they're oppressed or oppressors. Just stop. We're not doing that anymore. The only way you stop focusing on race is to stop focusing on race, period. Well, all that to say, the DEI ban has the liberals freaked out. This the diversity, equity, and inclusion thing has gotten them just, I think their heads are, well, right now, we're already seeing that some of the effects were things like the Air Force Academy suddenly decided to stop teaching about Tiki Airmen. Nobody said stop teaching real history. Nobody. The Trump administration during his last term honored the Tuskegee Airmen. We honor the Tuskegee Airmen. Why would you do that? It was a case of malicious compliance. That being said, DEI is shutting things down. And here's the thing. In just 24 hours, the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, headed up by Elon Musk, put out that they have now saved $420 million in DEI contracts that are being canceled across the federal spectrum. $420 million in DEI-only contracts. Just contracts. Not even the staffing, not even maintaining the offices, not the websites, nothing. Just the contracts. $420 million in current and pending contracts. And DOGE is just kicking it, man.
That judge is from D.C., by the way.
Oh, he's from D.C. Mm-hmm. All right, next to the Ninth Circuit, that's about the most liberal circuit you can go to. The D.C. Circuit is absolutely. That makes sense because it was a federal dictate through the executive order, and so they had to go to the D.C. Circuit. Okay. Well, listen, I don't understand why we have what we have in terms of the blessings of this country. I don't. I'm glad. Am I proud to be an American? Absolutely. Do I think that I want America to prosper and have even more than we have? Yes. But you know what? There's such a thing as called stewardship. There is such a thing as called wisdom. There is such a thing as being, you know, proud of what you did with that which you've been given. And there's no way in the world you can look at what someone we've been spending money on and call yourselves proud of it. I mean, who does that? Who sits in their ivory tower office and goes, you know, I just feel like we need to send more condoms to people that hate us. Why don't we spend $65 million sending them to the Taliban and to the Gaza Strip? That just makes great sense to me. Why don't we pass that? I think so. And then someone above them signs off on it. And then the check gets written and no one questions it. And then we find out and they get mad when we cancel it. What? The Taliban doesn't even want it. Stewardship means everything. And I'm hoping that DOGE is going to help us be good stewards again. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll take a break. We'll come right back, and I'll jump on into some other stuff. We do got to talk about what's happening here in the Southeast. There's some big stuff happening in Alabama and Tennessee. I'll cover some of that. And, oh, yeah, I got a ton of text messages, so I will go ahead and catch up on some of those. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. Hey, I got to go to the phones right now because my truck driving friend, Jeff Rowe from Indiana, is on the line. Jeff Rowe, how you doing, man?
I'm thinking about becoming a permanent resident.
a permanent resident of where?
Of Alabama.
Oh, come on.
Since I've sitting here in Falkville for almost three and a half hours now waiting on trailers, that's worse than Nashville.
You might as well get you a mobile home. Bring it on down.
Yeah, thank God I got a porta pot close by. That's all I can say.
Well, what do you think about all this stuff, man? I'm talking about Doge and about how much money we've been sending to all the wrong places for the wrong things.
What's this crazy thing about sending all these millions of dollars of condoms there to everybody and everything? I mean, I guess, you know, these lambskin or goatskin condoms they'd have to be sending over to Afghanistan. I mean,
Oh, my God. I'm not going to let you call in anymore. You're not allowed to call in for, like, you're on a three-day timeout now.
You do know that's a thing.
I don't even want to talk to you anymore. This is awful.
it's factual. I can't help it. I've got my facts in, my ducks in a row.
Oh my gosh. Being serious, this is absolutely asinine that we've been doing this. I mean, who thinks this stuff up?
Idiots in the Biden administration, apparently, because they're good at that. But the thing about it is, Phil, they sent all those condoms over to Afghanistan that they can't use. I mean, the Chinese floated this big, nice, helium balloon over the United States. I can just picture now the Afghanistan spy balloon coming over. It looks like a giant. That's where they used the $15 million worth of condoms with helium.
You spend way too much time in your truck thinking up this stuff, man. There's this.
I've been sitting there for 3.5 hours. I've had a lot of time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? All I can do right now, though, is hope that Doge is allowed to continue. I don't know if you heard it, but a D.C. Federal District Court judge just put an injunction on Trump's hold on some of the – I don't know what all the expenditure holds are for, but they're already taking action because, you know, they got to have their condom money. Got to have the condom money.
Well, how fast can they get that overturned in a higher court?
You know what? I don't know, but it needs to happen. But anyway, yeah. Hey, listen, brother. I hope you get the rig back up on the road here real quick, and be careful. We're gonna be taking a break here momentarily. But appreciate you, and I will have to put the red button in play next time you call in.
Yeah, I've seen a few people drive off the interstate, so you must be listening. Have a good following down here.
We got Right Side ruffians everywhere cracking up because you just called in. All right, brother, we appreciate you. Have a great day, man.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, buddy. Oh, my gosh. That may be one of the most classic. JP can't even get control of himself right now.
When he said it to me before he came on, I... was not expecting that.
So, that's a heck of a screening job you did there, man. Yeah. No, that was as good stuff. Listen, I got a ton of text messages, which I'll catch up on when we get back, and then I may divert because just a moment ago JP told me something about Captain America that I think we have to deal with because you know you just don't screw with Captain America. There are some things in my opinion that are virtually sacred. There's like God, family, and Captain America, don't mess with the storylines, please. And yet, the liberal left cannot help themselves. Have they not learned yet at Disney's Marvel Studios?
Clearly not.
Apparently
they're,
not.
They're about to learn again because the ratings for this new movie are going to go in the tank.
They're about to fool around and find out how we feel about our Captain America. All right, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about Big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, our text lines are jimmied up today. Maybe it's because so many of y'all are texting. I mean, that could very well be. I mean, but the text lines were full, and right when I went to refresh the screen, they went away. And so I'm still trying to figure out. I think it's got to be on the texting systems, don't you think? I mean, are we?
Yep.
I mean, maybe this is a case of we've had so many people today.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, we got well over 1,100 of y'all watching online. We've got all our stations going crazy. We got all our socials. Anyway, the bottom line is we love y'all. And we appreciate it more than you could possibly know. I don't know that I can get my third dipper. I have a whole section of home fries ready to cook up for you. But yeah, good Lord. The text message just popped in, and we are covered up, brother. Kenneth from Somerville said the Academy topic of Tuskegee Airmen had a CRT spin on it, so yes, it should have been canceled. Yeah, I heard that they felt like they had to cut a clip out, and maybe that's what it was, Kenneth. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because they did put it right back up, so there's that. Brand new in the text lines, and we can plug him in whenever the texter decides to really click on a new text that went away. Marco from Athens is brand spanking new. Marco from Athens, we're glad you are with us. Marco from Athens says, I blame PETA extremists for the condoms to the Taliban. It's more humane for the goats. Oh, my gosh.
Jeff from Indiana has opened up Pandora's box over here.
Good Lord. John from Huntsville says, if I can get my text. Golly, you know what? This is almost painful. I click on it, and then I wait. It's kind of like we're back in the days of dial-up. You don't remember that. What am I saying?
Hey, send us a fax. We'll leave it out on the air.
All right. Listen, I got to say this. So you told me something during the break about Captain America. So, I mean, listen, sitting on the shelf behind me here in the studio is a Captain America picture. I mean, mm-hmm. I've got my grandkids sent that to me for Father's Day one time. And my grandparent name is Cap. That's what they call me. And I just listen. This has been my favorite character for years. You don't mess with it. There's something about Captain America that is like it's like the sacred character. You just don't screw around with this. And yet, you just told me that in all the wokeness that we're seeing out of the Marvel Studios, once again they decided to jimmy up one of the main characters. This time it's Captain America. So what do we got?
Anthony Mackie, the new Captain America, new movie's about to come out. He said, I don't know what setting this was at. It was like a crowd event or whatever. He talked about how he doesn't think that Captain America should necessarily represent America. So he doesn't think that should be one of the things that...
Did you find the sound clip for that?
Yeah, I got a quick little 10-second clip of him.
So Anthony Mackie is taking over from Chris Evans, who's... I thought Chris Evans was, in my opinion, was one of the most perfectly cast... The characters who... Stop, Phil. Use your words. The actors who played Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America were three of the most perfectly cast actors for their parts. But it's so much so, it's hard to imagine anybody else ever taking over the role. All right. And I know I've just probably stepped on some toes. Some of y'all are like, well, what about this one? I don't know. I mean, how many Hulks have we had? I don't know. There's only been one Black Widow. There's only been, did we have more than one Hawkeye? No, only one Hawkeye.
Yep. I feel like all of them have been the same until up to now.
But the only one they're changing out is Anthony Mackie being the new Captain America, which I think happened in the comic books. I think there actually was a transition to the Falcon taking over. But he never said, and I don't want to represent America.
Yeah.
Play that clip.
For me, Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, America should be one of those representations.
What does that even mean?
It's in the name. The name is
Captain America. The name is Captain America.
Like, inherently, that is what it represents. This is
not a comic book show, but this is making me mad.
Yeah. I mean, like, as a kid who grew up, I mean, me and my dad would go to the premieres of every, like, Avengers movie, and it's just, I'm with you. It hurts to see them ruining it like that. And it's not about, some people may listen to this and say that they would think, because Anthony Mackie's a black Captain America. No, it's because he's saying he doesn't want Captain America to represent America. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
It's the character. It's literally the character. It's maddening.
It's wokeness. It's a guy who doesn't have his head on straight, doesn't realize what he's been given. He's been given an opportunity to inspire. It may be a comic book character, but you go back and look at the original Captain America movie, the very first one, Captain America, the First Avenger, I think it was called, set in the World War II setting and all that.
That was an awesome movie.
It was. But it also made you feel good about being an American. Mm-hmm. It was entirely fictional. It was designed, but it also made America look good. Intentionally. It made America look like the place where heroes come from. And I don't know if I told you this or not, but I just Googled it real quick to find it. One of my favorite quotes of all time. I used to have it actually on the wall in my office, and I probably need to put it back up in here in the studio. It's a quote from literally from a Captain America comic book, and I want to say it was maybe in the 50s. Have you ever heard the quote about the tree of by the River of Truth?
Mm-mm.
Okay, all right, brace yourselves. This is real. This is a quote from Captain America. He said, and I'm going to read it here, "Doesn't matter what the press says. Doesn't matter what the politicians or the mob say. It doesn't matter if the whole country decides that something wrong is something right. This nation was founded on one principle above all else, the requirement that we stand up for what we believe no matter the odds or consequences. So when the mob and the press and the whole world tell you to move, your job is to plant yourself like a tree beside the river of truth and tell the whole world, no, you move." Captain America.
That's powerful.
By God. Don't screw with my Captain America.
No. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. And like I said, the left is going to try to twist this into like a black-white thing because Anthony Mackie's, you know.
It's got nothing to do with
that. It's nothing. I mean,
it's got nothing
it's 100% the fact that they're making the character not, you know, represent America.
The Falcon was, I think, the very first ever black superhero, I believe. I could be wrong. It may have been Cage or something like that. I used to love reading comics when I was a kid, but my comic book characters were the ones who always had a touch of realism.
Yeah.
Like I wanted Captain America. I wanted, you know, something that I wasn't as into the ones that were fantastic or
like the Hulk. Or,
yeah. I wanted the ones that had a touch of realism. And the Falcon was one of those because he was a street guy who had amazing powers. I don't know, man. I don't know where it's going, but I guarantee this. They're not going to get great ratings on that movie.
Nope.
No.
They're not learning their lessons.
Sorry for your luck. All right, let's see if I can get some text. I'm not getting text messages. What is that? Okay, I just got an error message. Now we're getting errors. What's a 502 error? What does that even mean?
I have no idea. It just means you can't read your text.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I was going to talk about, and I'm going to jump into part of it right now. Anyway, we're going to talk tomorrow about what's happening around the home front. We do a segment on this show periodically. We call it Home Fries. We cook up a batch of home fries. We even have a sound effect for that. You got it? Yeah, go ahead and play it. Yeah. We'll cook up a batch of home fries tomorrow. But you need to know this. As a former state senator myself, I can just tell you, and I've said it on the show multiple times, that what happens in your state capital, I mean, as much as D.C. sucks the air out of the room, right? As much as we know that the federal government gets all the clickbait news and all the major media networks are going to follow what happens in D.C., what's happening in the U.S. Senate, what's happening in Congress, what's happening in the White House, I get it. But the truth be told, if you're paying attention, more stuff impacts your day-to-day life out of what comes from your state capital than anything else. Right in this very minute, the Tennessee legislature is in session. Next week, the Alabama legislature goes into session. And if you're not familiar, the reason why I say goes into session, it's because the vast majority, with the exception of, I think, maybe New York and California, go figure, the vast majority of state legislatures, the people that make the laws for your actual states, are part-timers. They come and go from their state capitals, and they go into session at predetermined times, except that Tennessee, right now, I believe is in a special session as we speak because the governor, Bill Lee, has called them into a special session just to deal with the idea of school choice. So think about this. Nothing's happening in D.C. right now that is going to impact that schoolhouse on the corner in your neighborhood, the one where your kids or grandkids go. But what happens in your state capital, like for instance in Tennessee, may decide whether you get to make a choice over whether your child goes to that school or another one. It may make a decision about a choice for you as to whether or not your tax dollars get to be used for your purposes with your kids or for what the system, the government decides. And Alabama did that last year for the first time. We just, this month went live with the first ever comprehensive school choice that we've ever had. I was there in our state capitol back in 2013 when we were able to pass the first measures of school choice, but nothing like what we've got now. And y'all, I'm just telling you, everything from how much tax you pay at the pump to whether or not the crimes carry a felony or misdemeanor charge or whether or not you're going to be able to have a business license, and all these things happen in your state capitol. So yeah, we're going to cook up a batch of home fries tomorrow. In fact, I need to go ahead and call Stephanie Smith, my friend who works at the Policy Institute, where I used to also be on staff, and see if I can get her on the show. I'm just telling you, home fries, they matter, and they matter a lot. But it's the kind of thing that too often we just don't even see it coming. I mean, I've said it on the show before, but I'll be honest with you. As a state senator, when I went to the state capitol, I thought I was a well-read constituent. I thought I had been tracking things. I thought I understood what governance was. And I got down to Montgomery, and I was like, I don't even know where the bathrooms are. And it suddenly dawned on me how seriously, how I did not realize how much went through the state house until I started being a part of it on the inside. And y'all, I'm just telling you, you pay attention to your state legislature, because the level of impact to you and yours that comes out of your state capitol, whoo, no kidding. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take the last break of the day here on a Taco Tuesday. We'll come right back and wrap the show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. So a couple of breaking news stories that I got to tell you about before we hit the top of the hour. Breaking news. This is huge. I'll be honest with you. So Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, that would be SecDef Hegseth, just announced in the last, the last 20 minutes?
Yeah, I'm saying 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, 30 minutes ago. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will announce that he is immediately pulling retired General Mark Milley's personal security detail and security clearance. He's also directing the new acting inspector general to conduct a review board to determine if enough evidence exists for General Milley to be stripped of one of his stars in retirement based on his actions to, quote, undermine the chain of command during Donald Trump's first term. Wow. Wow.
That's pretty big.
That's wow. So first of all, revoking the security clearance, why is that? You think, okay, why has he got a security clearance? He's retired. A lot of these guys come back as senior advisors, and that's not uncommon. They've got, you know, they're gray beards. They've got all this experience, and they come back, and they can be, you know, senior advisors to current staff and generals. They can be senior advisors to members of Congress. And then they also, some of them go off and they get the big cush jobs working in the defense industry. And the security clearances transfer directly over, and they can start working on TS projects. I had a TS SCI for years, and spent time working in a basement, a skiff in the Pentagon, and I get why this is all important. But Milley, wow, Milley is not going to have the ability to do any of that kind of work because he will not have a security clearance to do it with. That's huge.
Demoting him too.
And looking at demoting him. So he's a 4-star. He was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for too long. I just look at this thing. My gosh, you know, if Milley had come out and said, I don't support wokeness. If he'd just done that, if Milley had come out after Afghanistan and said, I have tendered my resignation to the President of the United States. We may find out later he tried, but the administration wouldn't let him do it. I don't know. All I know is this. Milley presided over one of the worst scenes in the U.S. military in modern times. 40-year recruiting lows. We had a readiness level that was at an abysmal level. The Heritage Foundation, in their annual military report, for the first time ever, ranked the U.S. military as being at a dangerous low level for defending the interests of the U.S. That's never happened before. And then you had the debacle pull out in Afghanistan while he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and he never once took ownership of it. He just kind of went on about his way. I had to go to work the next day. And if he had been the man, if he had come out and said, I take full responsibility for this, and I have tendered my resignation, and the president won't let me leave. I mean, he can leave. They can't make him stay. He can drop his papers and leave. Didn't do it. Stayed all the way to the very end, and then thanked Joe Biden for giving him a 11th hour pardon for things he hadn't even been indicted for.
That's telling, because like if you're innocent and you get a pardon, it's just kind of like, okay, well, but no, he made a point to, you know, thank you.
Yeah,
it's like that doesn't smell like innocence to me.
In fact, thank you for what?
Yeah,
I mean, the guy I said it on the show the other day when I first saw Milley coming in as the chairman, I was pretty stoked. I mean, my background being what it is, I was pretty stoked to see a guy coming in who was Special Forces and Ranger qualified, who had all the scare me badges on his uniform, had, you know, a star on his combat infantryman's badge, and, you know, being a jump master and all of it. I was ready to see somebody like a warrior with all those, you know, street cred on his uniform. You talk about a deflating of the expectations. Just ungodly.
Can he talk about white rage one time?
Yes. He just, you know, he was all about, you know, making sure you read the right woke books, and and then of course there's also the thing about how during Trump's administration he reassured the premier of China, I think it was, that don't worry, we've got this covered. If something happens, we'll be here. What does that say? If the president goes rogue on us at the very end, we won't take his orders. Well, that's why he's being looked at having a star removed.
And then
Biden kept him on for 4 years.
It's a new day, and PXF has been a rock star so far.
For all of a week. For half a week.
Yeah, I mean, literally like, what, 2 days, 2-3 days?
Yeah.
He's been, I'm glad that era, the General Milley era, is over.
I am so glad. All right, listen, tomorrow's going to be a new day. We're going to have a whole section of home fries we'll talk about. We'll have the Grand Council at 4 o'clock with my brethren Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. There's all kinds of stuff always right here. All of you who have been tracking us today, we certainly appreciate it. Stay with us, Right Side Ruffians. That's what we call our folks. And listen, JP and I sit here in the studio every day for Right Side Radio, and we could just talk into a can like this and ain't nobody listening. It would make no difference whatsoever. It's this audience that makes this show great, and we know it. So here's the deal. I say it every day. There are more of us than there are of them. God is still very much on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.